Are you ready for a whole new way of being in the world? Welcome to Living from the Inside Out with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Today we are going talking about living a guided life. And my apologies, we're starting just a minute late, but the numbers to call to get coaching on living a guided life and what that might look like in your world. 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada. That's 866-254-1579. Outside the U.S. and Canada, you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. And as always, before we go to you, I want to talk a little bit about the theme, set the table a little bit. And today we're going to be talking about living a guided life. And living a guided life is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart. I'm actually doing a five-day retreat in Dubai in December on living a guided life. If you want to find out more about that, go to michaelneal.org/guided. And essentially, the entire 5 days is built around one distinction that I have yet to reach the edge of. I've yet to reach the edge of this one simple idea's usefulness. And this one simple idea, this one simple distinction is I know or I don't know. That's it. That's the answer to any question you have about what you should do with your life. You know or you don't know. Now, I mean, you may have questions about the question. You may go, well, how do I know if I know? Or, you know, how do I know if my knowing is right? Or, you know, what do I do if I don't know? But it's just true that in any given moment, you know or you don't know. Now, this makes life incredibly simple. If you know, you know. Simple. If you don't know, well, you don't know. Simple. So if you know what to do, do it. And if you don't know what to do, don't. Now people go, well, that's too simplistic. That's too easy. You can't live like that. Well, first off, yes, you can. It's really nice. It's really simple. It's, you know, I'm not going to say I live 24/7 like that, but I wish I did. Because when I do to the extent that I do, my life is so easy, it's comical. People look at what I do and they go, oh my gosh, you're so busy. You're doing this. You're traveling there. You're doing these. You're making all this money. You're helping all these people. You're doing all these cool things in the world. Well, sure. But I'm navigating by guidance. I'm navigating by grace. I'm navigating by my inner knowing. And if I know, I know. Right? Everything's easy if we know. Right? If we know what to do, we know what to do. The difference actually for me came when I saw that I don't know was an answer. See, I thought I don't know meant I need to find out. Right? I don't know. I need to find out. I need to figure it out. I need to work it out. I need to ask other people who might know and find out what they know. And I need to, I don't know is just, it means my inner guidance doesn't have an answer for me yet. Or maybe the answer will turn out not to matter. But here's the thing. If we're willing to not know, at some point we'll know. Now that may sound counterintuitive or even bizarre, so I'll say it again. If you're willing to not know what you don't know, at some point you'll know. We have an inner guidance system, an inner GPS, an inner knowing. And that inner knowing is so reliable and life gets so easy. Now, when I say reliable, I don't mean that following inner guidance will mean that everything that you try to do will work out the way you think it should. That's not my experience of life on Earth. So if you're listening from another planet, maybe, but as long as you're incarnated here on Earth in a human form, some of the stuff you do will work out and some of the stuff you do won't. So knowing isn't based on predicting the future. Knowing is an in-the-moment responsive wisdom. So if you ask me, do I know what I will do at 4:37 this afternoon? No, I don't know. But at 4:37 this afternoon, I probably will. Because that in-the-moment response of wisdom will guide me. And when I say guide me, it's not quite like a GPS in the sense that most of the time it's not really, I'm not listening and it's saying, turn left ahead. And, oh, okay, turn left ahead. I'm just turning left. One of the ways I talk about it is it's a no-brainer. My brain doesn't need to get involved in the process. There's no evaluation. There's no intellectual argument. I know. I don't know. That's how the innate intelligence seems to express itself in us. And when you know that that's not only reliable, it's breathtakingly reliable. And you know that not knowing now is the gateway to knowing later. That trying to figure it out is what makes it harder to see, makes it harder to know. Then you're just not inclined to spend a lot of time worrying about stuff because you know or you don't know. And if you know, what are you worrying about? And if you don't know, what is there to worry about? You don't know. Best case, you'll guess. You got probably a 50-50 chance. You'll guess something that works out. You'll guess something that doesn't. Now, I am pretty sure that you're either listening to this laughing at yourself because you can see how complicated you've made navigating your life, or laughing at me because I sound like a naive, sophomoric, simplistic. Blech. If you're willing to stay with me, and maybe not even stay with me, but if you're willing to tune in as we talk to you in the show, and again, I'll bring on the first caller in a minute. Number's 866-254-1579, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. Outside the U.S. and Canada, 001-760-918-4300. And just see what you can see for yourself about how easy life is when you know, and how easy life could be when you don't know, but you don't mind not knowing. Until you know. Let's go to Texas. Let's talk to Stephanie. Stephanie, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi. Wow, I didn't expect to be first. I apologize if you hear the children in the background.
Nope, you're good.
I feel like I'm at a crossroads right now. I'm in a job that I'm unhappy with, and I've been trying to stick it out for 7 years, and 7 years kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming into my awakening, and so I'm learning a lot of stuff, and I'm feeling like I need to move forward with that. I'm just not sure is the timing right. And the reason I ask that is I have two little ones at home. Income is a big deal since we have a large family and have a child with disability who has a lot of needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of stuck and which path to take right now.
So are you okay with playing with it a little?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, you sure? We don't have to. We can. I don't know what the opposite of playing with it is, but I'm basically saying, are you okay with us trying something that might not solve your problem, but just playing around with ideas and seeing what we can see?
Sure.
Okay. So do you know what to do next?
I think I'm afraid of that.
Okay. What is it that you're afraid of? I promise I'm not going to make you.
No, it's, do I have what it takes? Am I going to fail? And I know it's probably something we've all asked ourselves at one time or another. You probably even asked yourself that at one time.
Daily basis. And my answer is always, my answer is pretty consistently, maybe.
Okay.
See, I don't think that's a relevant question to whether or not I do something, because I could never know.
Right.
Right. The psychics who work here at Hay House, they don't know. You know, they have a sense. They have a sense of which way they think it's going to go, and it's a very well-developed sense, but they don't know. Right. So to try and use my limited psychic powers to decide what to do or not do with my life seems like a bad strategy to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, do I sometimes doubt myself? Sure. Do I question whether or not something's going to work all the time. But it doesn't seem relevant to me.
Okay.
So what is it that you know to do that you aren't sure whether or not it's going to work or whether you'll be able to do it?
I guess the trusting process.
Okay, what does that mean?
Trusting that as I follow my, I guess, the signs I get or the feelings, I'm more of a feely person. Mm-hmm. So what I feel to do next, that if all, everything's going to end up okay, and I'm not going to make some drastic mistake that could be not only costly to myself, but my family. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it really boils down to.
Okay. So I understand, I think I understand that you have a sense that you need to trust the unfolding, the process.
Right.
But here's my question. What is the process telling you? Does the process know what to do next? Like, what's the next step?
I feel the process is telling me I need to clear my plate more. I have a large amount of things on my plate daily, and okay. I need to clear that and get more flexible and love me more.
Okay. Now I just want to check with you, because what we're doing right now is we're trying to, I don't know if you've been around a radio back in the days when you used to have to tune in a station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you play with the knob a little bit to try and get a clearer signal.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. That's what my questions are, so that you can hear a clearer signal to your I know, I don't know signal.
Okay.
So okay. It sounds like you know that you need to clear your plate, mm-hmm. and you know that it would be good to be kind to yourself along the way and be patient right. with yourself and to trust.
Right.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you know to do about clearing your plate?
Delegate. And that's where I have a big problem.
Okay. Here's where I think you have a big problem, and it's a much smaller problem than the big problem you think you have.
Okay.
I think your big problem is that you keep answering action questions with feelings.
Okay.
So I ask you, what do you need to do? And you say, trust. Well, trust isn't really an action. I ask you, do you know what to do to clear your plate? And you say, delegate. Well, I couldn't. If you just said to me, Michael, your job is to delegate, I don't even know what that means. I mean, I know it's something involving other people doing my work, but I don't know how to do it. So an answer for me, right? If you ask me, do you know what to do to clear your plate? If I knew, I might say, yeah, I need to cancel the appointment that I have booked straight up against the radio show, because it's just too tight for time. Or I might say, yeah, I probably shouldn't go see my godson play soccer this afternoon, and I should use the time to just chill and kind of let the world stop spinning for a minute. Those are things I can do.
Okay.
But I don't know how to trust. I don't know how to delegate. I don't know how to do these cool-sounding random things. So what is something specific that you know? If anything, Stephanie, understand, and I don't know is a real answer in my world.
Okay.
But
okay.
if you know, what is it that you need to ask who to take off your plate?
I need to lean more on others around me and trust that
okay,
it will get
boy,
done without my
understand,
doing
Stephanie,
it.
Here's where I'm jumping in. Okay. I'm just trying everything you're saying on, and if I was sent from a temp agency to do your job,
mm-hmm.
could I do it? Lean more on others. Well, I could literally lean more on others, but they'd probably hit me. Right? So what,
yes.
You know, if you tell me to clean your kitchen, I can do that, right? If you tell me to call Bob for you, I can do that. If you ask me to look after your kids for you, I can do that. But I don't know how to lean on people.
Okay.
So what, and again, remembering that I don't know is a totally legit answer. But what do you know to do?
Maybe I just don't know.
Okay. See, can you feel a little bit of when you say, yeah. I don't know?
Well, yeah, I can.
That space that opens up when we just acknowledge not knowing, that's the space that knowing comes into. It's almost like we've got our GPS and our radio on at the same time, and we keep turning up the radio to hear the GPS better.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know turns the radio off for a minute. And then if the GPS has something to say to us, there's a pretty good chance we'll hear it. But right. See, the GPS doesn't talk to us constantly. It talks to us when there's something to do. It's a real-time phenomenon, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, in 17.4 miles, there will be a left turn. Mm-hmm. But in 17.3 miles, it will tell you, prepare to turn left ahead. And in 17.4 miles, it will tell you, turn left now.
Right.
Now, we don't think our GPS is broken because it's not telling us anything. We think it not telling us anything is saying, yeah, carry on. I'll let you know when there's something for you to do.
Okay.
That's what I don't know is. I don't know is, yeah, carry on. If there's something to do, you'll know.
So I don't need to figure it out. I just need
Oh, my God. Listen. You don't need to figure it out. And in that realization. Yeah, I can hear it in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. There is a simplicity to this understanding, not simplistic to my mind. Simplistic is where you've made something simple beyond the point of usefulness. Einstein said, everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. Simplistic is where we make it simpler, right? Where it's dysfunctionally simple. But simple is fantastic. Simple is efficient. Simple is powerful. And if you want to unleash that power of simplicity, numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada, outside the United States and Canada, 001-760-918-4300, Canada. I hope you appreciate that after 12 years of doing this show, I'm finally remembering that to mention you in every call. So you owe me one, Canada. Not really, but feel free to phone in. So let me talk about simple. Right? My first sort of real insight into this, into how simple it could be to navigate, was a conversation I had with one of my mentors, George Pransky. And we were talking about the difference between living a black and white life and trying to operate in the gray. And I wrote about this. If you want to grab a copy of The Space Within, I write about this at length in The Space Within. But essentially what became apparent to me is that human beings work really well in black and white. Go, no go. Yes, no. Move, don't move. I know, I don't know. We operate incredibly well in the binary. And we struggle in the gray areas. But what I didn't see, what was not obvious to me when I first started looking in this direction, was that the gray areas are made of thought. They're made of me thinking about what I should do, what I will be able to do, what would be good to do, what might turn out to have been a good thing to do, how much I might regret not doing or doing what it is I know or don't know to do. In other words, we get lost in the gray because we think we have to figure it out. But the moment, like Stephanie, we see, oh my God, I don't need to figure it out. I don't know is an answer to the question, what do I do? And at some point, the answer to the question will be turn left or ask Bob to look after the kids or take an hour off or call Jennifer and see if she can meet you for coffee or whatever. Then I'm off the hook. Right? It's like the different. It's like being an Uber driver for the universe. Right? You don't need to know where your next job is coming from, because it pretty much always works out that as you're finishing up one job, the Uber gods give you the next job. Right? You don't need to know where you're gonna go next, because the system already takes into account where you are and gives you a job that is reasonably close to where you are now. You don't need to worry about where you're gonna go, because that comes with the job. You don't need to worry about what's gonna happen along the way or the traffic, because there's real-time GPS in the car that will show you the best route as you go. And if suddenly there's an accident on one route, it'll give you a different route. And if you take a wrong turn, it will recalculate the route for you. You just get to show up and drive and talk to people and connect and hopefully enjoy your life. Well, that's how all of life can be, except instead of our marching orders coming from Uber, they come from the deeper mind. They come from the intelligence of life. They come from our innate guidance system. What if it really could be that simple? How much more enjoyable, how much easier would your life be? Forgetting about the fact, how much further will you get in your life when you start to operate from that understanding, from that simplicity? Let's go to LA and let's talk with Gina. Gina, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hey there. How are
Hello.
You? Thanks for taking my call. So,
you're welcome.
I'm a coach and I teach people to live a guided life. So I am realizing I'm at this point where if I'm going to teach people that, I've got to walk that walk as well, or walk that talk.
It will make your
life
easier.
I'm faced with making some big decisions, some big changes in my life.
Okay.
Which require, coordinating with leaving a job, leaving a geographic location where I share my kids with my ex-husband, and, ruffling feathers, basically, which is scary for me. And I feel like you're just really the right person to kind of take away some of the scary.
Cool. Well, I can tell you where the first source of scary is.
Yes.
What's a big decision?
Well, leaving a job and moving.
I understand that's an example, but why is leaving a job a big decision and what you're going to have for lunch not
Excuse
a big
me?
Decision? In your mind, what's the difference between those two scenarios? Do I want this job or that job? Do I want this sandwich or
that
sandwich? So, okay.
Sorry.
So I just am asking you to kind of, in your mind, mm-hmm. I'm going to work on the assumption that what you're going to have for lunch today does not feel like a big decision.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So I want you to take a fresh look. I don't want you to just kind of give me a quick answer, but what's the difference in your mind between what shall I have for lunch? Shall I have this or that? And shall I leave my job? Shall I do this or that?
Okay, I see. I guess the difference for me is, on one hand, changing people's lives, where people live, how changing co-parenting schedules, upsetting the status quo, potentially, changing financial situations.
Okay,
and
so one thing is it affects other people. That makes it feel like a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
Another is it might affect your financial situation. That makes it feel like a big decision.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now let me give you let me take you back into my Uber metaphor.
Okay. I like that one. Yeah.
All right. So now let's say that the passenger in the back of your car is pregnant and has hired the Uber to take you to the hospital, and they start to go into labor on the way to the hospital. Would it feel like the decisions were bigger about which road to take than if they were just some person on their way to a party?
Yes.
Right. It would to you, but it would make no difference at all to the GPS.
Correct.
The GPS would not try harder. It would not use a different algorithm to calculate the route. It would work no better or worse, regardless of the passenger and why they were in your car.
Right.
Your GPS is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So your inner knowing is will work every bit as well, regardless of whether you think the decision is an important one or an unimportant one. In fact, the only reason it might work a little better with one you think is an unimportant one is because you won't add in so much radio noise.
Right.
Yeah. So my question for you, and then I'm going to tell you a story. My starter for 10, is do you know to leave this job now? Or take this job now? I wasn't quite sure which way it was.
Leave the job, yes. Yeah. For me, okay. Yes.
So you know that, and do you know now is the time?
Yes.
Okay, now as in this week, now as in this month, now as in this year?
This year,
okay.
By the end of this year.
Great. Now, let me tell you a story that may prove helpful or not. How about that for a commitment? So let me tell you how I wound up in Los Angeles. So I was living in England. I was had a successful career as an actor and a reasonably successful career as a coach. And I got a knowing one day. I got an absolute knowing. I got a no-brainer, inarguable, no question about it, knowing that I needed to be in LA. And I went home to my wife, and, you know, we had two young kids and a life. We'd lived there 13 years at that point. And I said, how do you feel about moving to LA? And she said, why? And I said, I don't know, but I know I need to go. And she said, I don't want to go. I said, okay. Now, I knew I needed to go. And I knew I didn't want to break up my marriage or leave my kids. So I started looking at, okay, I know I need to be in LA. How might I be in LA in a way that's less disruptive to the family?
Mm-hmm.
And I started working out a way where I could go and I would commute, essentially, where I'd spend a few weeks in LA and a few weeks at home. And in the end, Nina, my wife, decided actually that didn't make any sense. See, she decided she was okay with coming along for the adventure. And she came. And she resented me for probably the first 2 years. Not really and not continually, but, you know, it was used against me for a while.
Things
weren't going great. And then now, because after a few years, I knew that I didn't need to be in LA anymore. She's never wanted to go back. She loves it here.
Uh-huh.
Now, the only thing I knew was I needed to go to LA.
Right.
Everything else was up for grabs. How, the details... That was all up for the great unfolding, for to be guided in the path. But see, if I had thought, well, the only way that I can go to LA is to rip my wife and children away from everything that they love and put up with their resentment, and what if I'm right? You know, I could have talked myself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a shame, because our lives just... have gone from strength to strength, and opportunities have just bloomed here that were never available to me over there.
Right.
But you can know one thing without knowing everything else. Like, you don't know how it'll be for other people. You know what you think it'll be like. You know what they think it'll be like, maybe. But you don't know what it'll be like. You don't know whether in the end some will, you know, people will follow you or not follow you. You don't know whether it'll do wonders for your bank balance or tragic things to your bank balance. You don't know any of that. But you know to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I am thinking in similar situation like you, because I'm planning to go to Northern California, where my home is, and splitting my time, kind of like you did. And thinking, well, that might be a solution for now.
But you know what I hear in that?
Mm-mm.
You don't yet know that that's the solution.
Correct.
So cool.
Right.
So you know what? You know one thing. I know to go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't yet know how to do it. I don't yet know what form it'll take. But that's like saying, I know I'm going to San Francisco from L.A. I don't know if I'm going to take the 405. I don't know if I'm going to take the 5. I don't know if I'm going to take the 101. I don't know if I'm going to start on the 101 and then switch over to the 1. Right? There's a lot of stuff I don't know, but I know I'm going to San Francisco.
Right.
Well, that's more than enough to begin your journey.
Yeah. And I feel like I've struggled with, I feel like I have to ask permission or get buy-off from my ex-husband, and I'm anticipating being scared and compromising and allowing his energy to overtake mine.
So you know what you just said to me, Gina? Let me just tell you what you just said to me. Well, I was going to drive from New York to L.A., but I'm scared of heights. And then I would go, what do you mean? And you would say, well, the Grand Canyon is on the road from New York to L.A., and I'm just worried that when I get to the Grand Canyon, I might get scared, so I'm not going to leave New York.
Right. Well, that has been my past story, and I'm trying to tell a new one.
Yeah,
I'm trying to create
or let a new one
habit.
Be written. How about not making it even that hard? What if you don't have to write a new story and you don't have to create a new habit? What if you just stop telling the old one and see what takes its place?
Okay.
Like, what if it was that simple?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make crap up that depresses me. That's my New Year's resolution.
I like that.
Because that just opens you up. It's like, I'm going to stop listening to, you might like Dr. Laura, but, you know, I'm going to stop listening to Dr. Laura. I don't have to decide what I'm going to listen to instead. I'm just going to stop listening to Dr. Laura. I think it'll be easier to hear my GPS that way.
I love that quote, by the way, that you said. I can hear my inner GPS when I turn my radio down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I hope that that takes some of the fear out of the question.
A little bit.
Okay. Well, let me just offer this. Right? Just as you listen, as you kind of reflect on the show, just keep kind of maybe asking yourself, could it be this simple? Because I got to tell you, it can be. And if you start to see it, you're going to exhale.
Yay. I'm going to ask that.
Cool. And feel free to phone back and let me know what it's like to have exhaled.
I will. Thank you.
All right, Gina. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I always, not always, I get concerned from time to time that people listen to the calls and think that I'm being flip with people. Oh, no, this is a big decision. I wrote a blog this week, and I called it Why Cancer Isn't Scary and Death Isn't Sad. And I knew that some people wouldn't get any further than the title and might take great offense. If you actually read the blog, and you can read it at michaelneal.org, you'll see that I'm not saying what it sounds like I'm saying. What I'm saying is that our feelings are not properties of things. Our feelings are properties of thought. And that when we project that onto things, we become mentally unwell, mentally unstable. But when we can see the things without the feelings projected onto them, we're mentally healthy. Because we live in the feeling of thought in the moment, not the feeling of things, of the world, of situations, of circumstances. Well, in the same way, I think sometimes people hear the tone of a conversation about a move and family issues, and it touches off their thinking about moving and family issues, and it sounds insensitive. And I hope it doesn't, but if it does, have a listen, if you're up for it, to hear what it sounds like to the people I'm talking to. And you'll notice they don't take offense as a general rule, because they know that you can take something seriously without getting serious about it. What's the difference? Well, taking it seriously means taking it to heart, means recognizing, yeah, yeah, this is worthy of my time and attention. But being serious about it is, this is a big deal and it matters and I must destroy all humor genes so that only my serious self deals with... Your serious self is a moron. I'm sorry, my serious self is a moron. Serious selves are morons. Right? That's why they're the object of mirth in all stories and all movies. Right? Now your lighter self, not your frivolous self, but your lighter self, your lightness of being, your lightness of touch, the ease with which you move through the world is a frickin' genius. Because it is as clear and clean a channel for universal wisdom, for innate intelligence, as exists on the planet. I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, angels fly because they take themselves lightly. Not that they take life lightly. They take themselves lightly. Right? There's a story I tell in the new Creating the Impossible book about... and it comes from actually Benjamin Zander, who very kindly allowed me to include it in the book. And it's of the English Prime Minister, and he has visitors from another government. And you know, in the midst of their meeting, somebody comes in and goes, "Oh my God, Prime Minister, we got to..." And he goes, "Jeanette, remember rule number 6." And Jeanette stops and goes, "Oh, thank you, Prime Minister. I apologize," and walks out. And then a little bit later in the meeting, Clive comes in, and Clive is, "Oh, Prime Minister." He goes, "Clive, remember rule number 6. And Clive goes, "Oh, God. Sorry, Prime Minister. Thank you." And this goes on a few more times until finally the representative of the other government says to him, "Prime Minister, I hope you don't mind my asking, but what is rule number 6? And he says, "Rule number 6 is don't take yourself so damn seriously." And the other government official smiles and says, "That's a very good rule. Are there any others?" And the Prime Minister says, "Nah." Now, you can take your life seriously without taking yourself seriously. You can enjoy yourself as you try and make your way in the world and do things of consequence and note. But the idea that we have to act serious in order to do things of consequence and note is just made up. It's just an idea. It'd be like saying only people wearing ties can make decisions. It's not true. You can make a decision with a tie. You can make a decision without a tie. The tie's got nothing to do with it. Let's go to our old friend Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, first, I'm glad that the tie thing doesn't apply, because I don't wear ties very often. So
you're good then.
I'm glad I can still make decisions.
Excellent.
So, and one of the decisions I made was to pick up the phone and call. So thank you very much. It's an honor to talk to you. I feel relaxed and just calm and comfortable in my own skin. So I'm not going to dive into the thoughts of, "Oh my gosh, I'm talking on the radio with somebody I really look up to. I gotta present myself in a certain way." So anyway, I started the effortless the Hay House course.
The path to effortless change. Yeah.
Yes, and I'm really excited to get into it. And I just wanted to know if you have any pointers. I've gotten through parts of the first lesson where it talks about listening to what you say without complete agreement, but not like being pessimistic with every word, and sort of just an honest listening to see what applies. And I just wanted to know if you could, just the way and the subject matter that you cover in that, if you could give me any other pointers as to how I could get the most out of the course.
Yeah, I'll actually share the pointers. I share some similar ones in the course, but I'm going to share them as I share them in the Creating the Impossible book. Because you might hear it a little differently. And the first thing I share in the Creating the Impossible book is to listen for insight, not information.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, What will change things for you is what you see, not what you hear. It's what you see from inside you to be true. It's what you realize in the sense that you go, oh, that's true. As opposed to, okay, let me remember. Now, Michael says that when this happens, it means this. And when that happens, it means that. All that's going to do is bung up. That's like, you know, putting more radio, putting on multiple radios at the same time and trying to think clearer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, insight, not information. Now, a second thing, and this one is, you know, I think they're all of equal importance, but listen for principles, not strategies. So instead of kind of going, okay, how do I do this? What's Michael's strategy for that? And okay, this bit is about health. How do I apply Michael's strategies for health? How do I apply Michael's strategies for money? How do I apply Michael's strategies for interpersonal relationships? What you'll hear in that program is the same fundamental principles again and again and again. Now, I don't know if what I'm about to say is gospel truth, but I have been told that in Taekwondo, the martial art, there are three basic moves. And you can become a black belt in Taekwondo simply by mastering those three basic moves in more and more complex combinations. Well, it's the same thing with life. When you start to understand the basic operating principles, that we have an innate intelligence inside us, that we have a creative capacity via thought to literally imagine anything, and that because of the nature of consciousness, we not only will feel our thinking as though it's real, it's like being lost in a movie, caught up in a movie, but we can wake up to the fact that we're in the movie in any moment.
That's awesome. I also signed up for Marianne Williamson's The Return to Love, and one thing she mentioned in that course was if any kind of thought just doesn't serve me, just to offer it up to the Holy Spirit. And with the three principles, I see that as my consciousness recognizing the thought and then just offering it to mind. So,
which is a great example of the difference between a strategy and a principle. So in your understanding of the principles, you can see, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to, oh, right, what did Marianne say? I'm supposed to serve this up to mind. So it's not
right.
That it's a bad idea. It's a fantastic idea. It's just that in the moment, if you're trying to remember a strategy, you're going to struggle. If you know
okay.
principles, if you get how it works, it'll naturally occur to you to do stuff like that.
Okay. Well, it's definitely food for thought, as you always offer, and your kindness and wisdom with me and the other callers is greatly appreciated. And just have a wonderful holiday season. And
you too,
take care. Bye.
Great to hear from you. Bye.
You too. Bye.
You know, that I think this is one of the trickiest things. Maybe it's not that hard to see. Maybe I just find it tricky to articulate. But so often people have a great idea that really works for them. So they'll be really caught up, and then it'll occur to them, oh my God, I just need to count to 10 and breathe. And they do. And they feel so much better. And they feel so much clearer. And suddenly they know what to do, and they're not upset. And they go, oh my God, I got to remember, the next time I get caught up, I need to breathe and count to 10, or is it count to 10 and breathe? I can't quite. And they get caught up in remembering the strategy. And they don't notice that when they needed it, a perfect solution occurred to them in the moment. Well, that's what it is to live a guided life. To know I don't have to remember all these different strategies for all these different possible situations, because it's all pre-programmed into the GPS. It'll tell me what to do when there's something to do. I can rely on it. In fact, I talk about it in Creating the Impossible. It's 100% reliable, even if it's 98% unpredictable exactly what will come to mind when. And when I start to see that I can rely on that inner knowing, on that inner guidance system, life just gets easier because I don't have to think about it. And we all do really well when we don't have to think about it, right? When it's a no-brainer, we do great. And we all struggle the more it seems like we have to think about, right? Some of us do better, some worse, sometimes better, sometimes worse, right? You can still muddle through. But life's easy when you know. And life's easy when you know that not knowing is a legitimate answer. But at some point you'll know. And then it'll be easy. Now, for me, my moments of knowing used to take about 7 years. Right? Once every 7 years, I'd know exactly what to do. I knew when it was time to leave one high school and go to a different high school. I just knew it. It was no question, no brainer. I left all my friends. I had all these ideas about what one high school meant versus the other high school. When I knew, I did it. It was done. Right? I knew to leave America and go to England. I just knew. I remember where I was. I remember the moment. It was absolute clarity. I knew. I knew to buy my first company from my business partner, and long before I had money, right? You know, but I knew that was the next thing to do, and it led to the beginnings of what I do now. I knew to marry my wife. I knew to move to America. But because those events were spread out 3 to 7 years apart, I didn't feel like it was a very reliable nav system, right? It would be like if your car nav system came on every 30th journey, you'd probably buy a lot of maps because you knew you couldn't trust your nav system. What I didn't realize is it wasn't that my GPS only came on once every 3 to 7 years. It was that I wasn't used to listening for it. I didn't know that turning down the radio of all the thinking in my head and all the ideas in my head would make it easier to hear the GPS. I didn't recognize that our inner knowing is like a piccolo in a marching band. That if you're standing too close to the drums, if you're standing too close to the trumpets, you're going to struggle to hear the piccolo. And so I thought I only had access to it occasionally. But in fact, I just had a lot of noise in my head. I just had a tendency to overthink things. Now, what was really cool is when it stopped seeming like thinking about everything and trying to figure everything out was a great idea, I started to hear the piccolo more. I started to hear this inner guidance more. I started to hear the inner wisdom more. More and more of the time, it was obvious what to do. And so I began to rely on this inner nav system more, even when I didn't know if it was going to work out. Like, I actually remember one day having a huge insight sitting in my car. And I wrote a note on I usually carry a yellow sticky pad around with me. And I wrote a note and stuck it on my sun visor, the thing you flip down. There's a name for it. I can't remember. And it said, go with your knowing even when you're wrong. Now, that was meaningful to me in that moment, right? I'm not saying you need to write that down on your sun visor. I'm saying in that moment, I realized that there was more value in learning to trust and follow that inner voice, that inner knowing, that inner sense of direction, than there was in trying to get it right. Because even if occasionally it seemed to take me down a rabbit hole or a dark alley, in the end, being able to rely on it would be worth its weight in gold. It's like when I first got a car with a GPS in England, it didn't work that well. And it didn't work particularly in particularly rural areas where there were a lot of trees and the tech just wasn't that good. And I remember taking my father-in-law to go play golf, and I was very proud that I had a new car with the new built-in GPS. And the GPS left us in the middle of a field full of cows. And I was like, okay, maybe I can't trust this GPS just yet. But the GPS got better. Now, our built-in GPS is state-of-the-art. And it gets upgrades all the time. So you're always operating with the latest software. And the more you rely on it, the more reliable it turns out to be. And it really is as simple as use it or lose it. Every time you check in, what do I know to do? Do I know what to do? And you don't make stuff up. You either know or you don't know. It's binary. Yeah, I know what to do. I don't like it. I might not want to. I might not think it works, but I know what to do. Or, I don't know. You know, one of my favorite stories, it's, I think I tell it, I feel like I tell it all the time, but it's either in Inside Out Revolution or The Space Within, but I'll tell it now. My mentor, George Pransky, who I mentioned earlier, that, you know, we had the conversations about black and white and gray. He told me a story about when he had an intern working with him and he was doing a mediation. Now, the version he told me most recently is a little different to the version I tell in the book. So I'll share the version that he told me most recently. But it was essentially a multi-day mediation, and that was his specialty. And he had an intern with him who was learning, and day one went terribly. Like, it really, you know, a good mediation, people settle down, you can get a dialogue going. Well, there was no settling down. It was bad enough that George actually sent everyone home early. And his intern was like, "Oh my God, is it always like that?" And George was like, "No." And he goes, "Well, that was terrible." And George went, "Yeah." He said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And George said, "I don't know." "Well, what do you mean you don't know?" "Well, I don't know." "But, well, aren't you worried?" "Well, no, because something will probably occur to me tonight or in the morning, and then I'll know." So comes in the next morning. His intern said, "Did anything occur to you?" "No." "Well, what are you going to do?" "I don't know." "Well, aren't you worried?" "Well, not really. I mean, something will probably occur to me through the course of the day as I'm talking to people, as I'm dialoguing with them. That's how it usually works." Well, the day goes on. It doesn't get much better. It gets a little better, but it's still a total impasse. People still aren't interested in any movement on their position. End of the second day, it's a three-day mediation. You know, the intern says to him, "Well, George, what are you going to do?" "I don't know." "Well, what do you mean you don't know?" "I don't know." And he said, "Well, aren't you worried?" "Well, if you keep asking me, I might start to get worried, but honestly, no. I mean, I figure something will occur to me tonight or in the morning." Well, next morning, same thing. And finally, as we're about to go in for day three, the intern's despairing. You know, what if it doesn't work out? And George says, I don't know. I guess I'll give them their money back." See, to George, it didn't look even worth trying to make something up, even worth trying to force an outcome, because he knew that when you know, you know, and until you know, you don't know. He knew it was that simple. And in fact, in that third day, something occurred to him, something occurred to the other people, and the mediation went really well, and it was all resolved. But George's faith in his GPS wasn't born on that day. It played out on that day. So if you want to live a guided life, it starts now. It doesn't start the next time you're in a crisis. It starts today. Do you know what you want for lunch? Do you know you don't know? Do you know what you're going to do this afternoon? You know you don't know. Do you know what's next for your business? You do or you don't. And as you learn to operate in the simplicity of that distinction, you'll find the guidance from home base gets clearer and clearer, to the point where you're not even necessarily aware that you're being guided. You just know what to do. And there's a simplicity and a beauty to that. So if you want to go deeper in this conversation, and it for me is the most worthwhile conversation to go deeper in, join me in Dubai. We're going to spend 5 days exploring this in one of the most beautiful places on earth, from what I can tell. And go to michaelneal.org/guided, and you'll find out more about the Living a Guided Life retreat. You can also subscribe to the Caffeine for the Soul newsletter and blog and podcast, and find out about our other programs for next year, including the launch of my newest book coming soon, coming January 2nd, Creating the Impossible. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.